A young lawyer was charmed by a young local lady while visiting a rural village in the Visayan region of the Philippines for his pro bono work. The young lady is a regular vendor at one of the shopping kiosks in the surrounding plaza. After a week, when the lawyer introduced himself to the young girl, he inquired whether he could court her. The lady smiled and informed the lawyer that she needed to ask permission to her parents first. And when the lawyer returned to her stall after 2 days, she replied that her parents had consented and that he could visit the next day, if possible. It nearly took him an hour to get to the girl's house. The area had the feel of a commune that was cut off from the outside world. An elder greeted the lawyer when he stepped foot on the neighborhood and accompanied him to the young lady's place. The villagers were staring at him, some with a simple smile and nod. Kids were approaching him like he was some sort of a movie star, most likely due to his mestizo appearance and attire, which are both far contrasts from a regular resident or local of that place. The young lawyer was enthusiastically welcomed by the girl's parents, siblings, and other relatives. He even helped split wood and clean the stove made of clay in preparation for a gathering later that evening. It is an old Filipino custom in which a suitor must perform certain things for the parents of the girl he is courting. When 6 o'clock in the evening came, he rested and sat inside the lady's house while her parents spoke with him. As usual, he introduced himself as a lawyer who got his license a year ago, succeeded with other sales pitches to win their daughter's heart. He also gave a bottle of Fundador brandy to the father, while a bottle of oil of olay to the mother. The girl he was courting was sitting with her parents on the sofa, with upholstery made of local hemp. She is quiet and smiling at him, while her siblings and cousins were busy slicing ingredients and vegetables for tonight's special, while nibbling M&Ms that the lawyer gave. Minutes passed by, and as he drank a cup of hot ginger tea prepared by the girl's mother, one of her relatives entered the house and said,
"Oh, it's getting late. Where's the meat for the soup and for grilling?"
No one responded to the relative's query, but they all turned to the young lawyer with a malicious smirk on their faces as he became dizzy, closed his eyes, and fell asleep. This story was told by a close friend and is about an alleged possible encounter with a manananggal, or worse, a still unclassified entity. For those who don't know, manananggal is a Philippine folklore creature that can separate its upper torso from the lower part of its body. Their fangs seem comparable to a vampire, and they grow wings similar to a bat as well. The said encounter happened during the mid-80s in a quiet barrio nestled within the Mindanao part of the Philippines. A chilling incident unfolded that would haunt the memories of those involved, especially a certain police officer who is my close friend's grandfather, who I'll just call him by a different surname, Officer Ramirez. It was a humid evening when the phone call disrupted the tranquility of Officer Ramirez's evening. The dispatcher's voice crackled through the receiver, informing him of a grisly discovery. 3 disemboweled men, all scattered across the grassy fields of their rural barrio. Officer Ramirez hurried to the scene without pausing. As he got closer to the horrific scene, the air was heavy with the metallic smell of blood. He was shocked to see a woman's mutilated body next to the three other dead bodies that were spread out and lifeless in the waning light of sunset. The woman's upper torso had been missing, leaving just her lower abdomen down to his feet, while her body entrails were exposed. Ramirez started his investigation with a foreboding determination. The men's IDs revealed they were outsiders, strangers to the barrio. However, Ramirez was unable to identify the woman despite his best attempts, because the violence she had endured, leaving only her lower abdomen downwards exposed, and no items were found inside the pockets of her bloodied skirt. This led to an additional task, because the upper torso was nowhere to be found at the initial scene of crime. He could also feel the presence of an identified attacker hovering over him as he painstakingly went over the evidence. Ramirez was alone in the growing darkness, feeling every moment of the grass and getting a chill. As he waited for his colleagues to arrive, time appeared to elongate, with the minutes moving painfully slowly. Then, as if summoned from the depths of nightmare, a sound pierced the silence, a soft, eerie scraping of grass against flesh. Ramirez's heart thundered in his chest as he turned towards the source. His breath caught in his throat, and he felt his heart pounding in his chest. There, amidst the shadows, the impossible unfolded before his disbelieving eyes. The dismembered half body of the woman, her form grotesquely severed, exposing her bloody intestines, seared to life and stood up. With a horrifying result, her disjointed legs moved and ran, carrying her forward into the night. In stunned disbelief, he was left fixed to the spot, his head spinning with shock as he saw the terrifying figure go into the darkness. In an instant, the cold uncertainty that threatened his sanity replaced the logical boundaries of his reality. Ramirez struggled to accept the terrifying reality of what he had seen following the horrifying night. The image of the mutilated lady hung in the corners of his thoughts, a quiet reminder of the horrors that existed outside the bounds of logic. As the days stretched into weeks, Ramirez made a crucial choice that was kept a secret from the depths of his conscience. He could not reconcile the unexplainable with the demands of his duty, so he chose to remain silent rather than reveal the truth. He reasoned that it would damage his reputation because he was about to get promoted at the time, and he was fulfilling his dream of becoming a lawyer. He is unable to discern that he may come upon a potential manananggal because folklore conflicts with his line of work, which relies on reason and rationality. Years went by, and after he retired, he recalled the terrifying night to his grandchildren. When related by Officer Ramirez, the narrative seemed more like an authentic account than a fabrication meant to frighten the kids into falling asleep on time.